And then there were four NFL teams left. The path to the Super Bowl is getting clearer and clearer. This is 3rd and 5. Welcome into 3rd and 5, episode number 56. Simon Hampton here with James Thwaites and David Rice, coming out of NFL divisional round. Lads, how's the weekend been? We're recording on a Monday afternoon today, so fresh out of the weekend. Good weekend?
Good weekend. I mean,
caught up with both of you, it's always good.
You did. And you know, like, it's you're slowly getting to the catching up to us in age. Maturity, maybe. Yes. And you ridiculously, I thought you and Patrick Mahomes were around the same age, but you're obviously a few years older, which is slightly depressing. I've got to the
considering
point
considering what I've done with my life.
Yeah, I like sit there at my age, like I'm 35, 36 this year, and I sit there and I'm just like, you know, you see all these people retiring from sport, and it's like, yeah, 34 in the NFL, 34 in the NBA, and it's like, oh shit.
Thank God LeBron's still hanging around. I like the way you just forgot how old you are. I like the way you just like 35 or 36 this year. It's one of those two. Doesn't matter.
Do you see, I actually think that's actually real appropriate, because I was looking every sort of, with the Australian Open tennis at the moment, I'll kind of like check the results in the morning, and that, you know, that would have come through overnight. And some of these names I've never heard of. And so I'll always just click on them, and you'll just see that they were born in like 2002, 2001.
One of them's 20,
it's now, yeah. Like, as if they're born in the 90s, in the early 90s, I'm like, oh, that's quite old. And obviously, yep. I'm significantly older than that. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's that guy that's like 20, I think. And he's like, he's studying at university or something, and he's in the quarterfinals.
Is that Ben Shelton, the guy
Shelton,
from
yeah.
The US guy from Florida?
Florida
that
guy.
Played
yeah.
Might be. I was watching last night, and they were like talking about
that's the guy.
College rivalry, because the other guy used to play for like Ohio State tennis.
So the ESPN app doesn't give you the first name, just the letter. So I just thought it was Blake Shelton, doing a different profession. But so Ben
country
Shelton,
superstar I'm, Blake Shelton,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Swimming off a few pounds, getting into tennis. But yeah, wild weekend of sport. Like, you know, like it, I mean, a lot of the games went how we thought. Some were closer, and then some just went completely the wrong way. You know, there was some great basketball on in the weekend, some huge comebacks by the Lakers. Shannon Sharp almost got into a complete fist fight with the entire Grizzlies team. Can you imagine?
Stephen Adams, though.
Oh, can you imagine Shannon Sharp and Stephen Adams going out? And anyone that doesn't know, like, Shannon Sharp is one of the best tight ends of all time. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings, played for the Broncos for ages. Him and Stephen Adams, even though Shannon Sharp's, you know, 50-odd, that'd be a great fight. I'd definitely pay pay-per-view prices for that.
Shannon Sharp is in, like, ridiculously good shape. He's one of those guys that, like, after his career, he's in his 50s. Think of someone, a New Zealand comparison, maybe like a Monty Beatham, someone that's just stayed in remarkable nick after ending his career, like, rather than putting on weight. So, you know, everyone's thinking, you know, he'd be able to back a punch, no doubt.
I saw he had a big 4-minute apology today, but, you know, mentioned Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant, but didn't mention Stephen Adams in the apology. So, that's the way it goes. But he had a big 3-minute apology on Fox this morning. The Nets had a big win last night over the Warriors. We talked about it briefly last. I was actually asleep, but you guys talked about it. About the fact that this Nets team without KD is just like losing to shit teams and beating good teams, which is pretty random. Kyrie's had a couple of massive games, though.
Kyrie has had a couple of massive games. None of it makes sense. And this kind of like feels like that awful period of time last year where the Nets went through that 12-game losing streak. We just don't know what to expect from the team. They line up against some of these teams on paper, and it's like, you know, Spurs. They're easily going to beat the Spurs, and then they get spanked by them. And then they go into Chase Center. Golden State Warriors have a shit record, but it's a shit away record. At home, they're pretty dominant. At a full-strength Warriors team, and have a great game and win. And, you know, like, they clawed their way back multiple times from, like, you know, double-digit, you know, when they were behind double digits. It was pretty incredible to see.
It just shows you, like, with the NBA, that it is that long season, and you just got to try and avoid extended stretches of a bad run. Now, obviously, the KD injury, you're expecting some losses. What happened last year? I think it was an 11-game losing streak, and they never really recovered. They didn't get a good seeding as a result. So it's important that they can kind of, and we've spoken about it a few times, try and limit the damage. If they can go 500 in the 4 weeks that he's out, you know, that's great. And yeah, of the last four games, we would have gone the reverse of what games you would have expected them to win, but they've done what you'd sort of hope. And I mean, it's really on the back of Kyrie with two pretty big performances, 48 and 38. And that needs to happen. You know, he's going to have to continue to carry a lot of that load and really step up, particularly in the fourth quarter.
What about Claxton, though? Claxton has been dominant.
Yeah,
Like,
he's good. He's a good
20,
player. Oh.
20-ish points, most like, you know, 15 or so rebounds. And then he's still on this ridiculous block streak of a minimum of 3 blocks a game. I think he's up to 12 now.
I think that's been him all season, though, right? Like he's just taken that leap that that's been great for the Nets.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then obviously we got the Lakers. They were down 25 points, I think, at halftime yesterday. Managed to come back and beat the Portland Trailblazers on the road. And then
They
they've
won quite
also like,
comfortably, right?
yeah. And then
Yeah.
they've also like kicked, you know, started off with an interesting trade, trading Kendrick Nunn and 3 second-round picks to the Wizards. So trying to get some players back there and try to fix their problems. I don't know if that fixes much of their problems, because the guy that they got, Rui Hachimura, probably murdered that.
Nice.
Isn't a big 3-point shooter, so you know they've still got a lot of moves to make, I think.
Yeah. Good to see a few trades happening though, and hopefully we get a few more getting closer to the trade deadline. Let's rip into it. Start with the NFL weekend's matches, four games starting on Saturday. Chiefs Jags, Chiefs 27, Jags 20. I mean, obviously, big story out of this is Mahomes' ankle, which will be a topic for next week's game as well against the Bengals. But you know, really impressed with this Jags team, and you know, and the effort they put up. I mean, of course, Mahomes is banged up, but he still looked pretty good out there, and the Jags still made this a close game at Arrowhead.
Yeah, like I mean, any team that can go into Arrowhead and hold Patrick Mahomes for 195 yards and 2 touchdowns, you got to be happy with that. Like, I mean, he's had performances this season against some teams where he's put up, you know, 5 touchdowns and gone for, you know, 400 plus yards. So I think Jacksonville's just, they've got a lot of like positives leading into next season, which is really good to see. I think, like you said, the big news is definitely Patrick Mahomes. It was reported as a high ankle sprain, and we were obviously talking about it as this happened. High ankle sprains in the NFL are normally like a 6 to 8 week injury. Sometimes you can get surgery on them to help increase the timeline by a few weeks. But it's going to be really interesting to see what Patrick Mahomes and all those rumors this week are. As some reporter put it, we're going to hear more about Patrick Mahomes' ankle than we would about the moon landing if we were paying attention back in that time, because it's just such a big injury to a quarterback that's usually pretty mobile.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, and he's definitely, as you say, that I think part of his what makes him so good is him being able to get out of the pocket and use his legs and you know, just sort of keep the play alive and then find generally Kelce. And so yeah, is that even if you just take part of that away, you know, that's a huge dent to the Chiefs' chances going forward. I
I
kind
think
of
as well, like Dave, like, and it'd be good to hear your and Sai's opinion on this. Surely, like with a high ankle sprain, going back into that game, lots of people were like, hey, look, like he was kind of hobbling around a bit, but he was fairly fine. I mean, we all follow the NFL. We know he would have got some injections in that in the locker room. And he's probably running on a shit ton of adrenaline. Today that thing must be so swolled up. Like I you know, like the day after is definitely completely different to day off.
yeah, I think it's an injury that he's had before, similar. Like he's had a high ankle sprain before that he's managed. These guys, I think when we're all together on the weekend, he's got basically, you know, from their perspective, he's thinking two more games, right? And you could put that down to, let's call it 30 minutes each game, roughly, of action. And so they'll cortisone inject him, I'm sure. They'll just do everything they can to kind of get him through. And then, you know, he's got a long period. He can literally be off his feet for 6 months if he needs to be. that will be their mentality, anything to get the chip. So I expect them to be fully playing, and they'll just downplay it all week. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I'm sure he's not 100, but he might be able to play close to it based on what they can do around it.
Yeah, you saw him out there as well. He's hobbling around so much, but then when he's actually on in the play, he's like, running around. I do wonder. I think I mentioned this to you guys the other night. Like, I do wonder when, when he receives the snap, like, you're not the pain. You sort of forget about the pain for those 10, 15 seconds, and then suddenly the play ends, and you're like, fuck, that really fucking hurts,
Yeah, well, that I
and you're
think,
hobbling
like,
around again.
case in point to exactly what you said, that last touchdown pass I think he had, like, he almost looked like he was going to run up the middle, and then it's kind of like something in his brain was like, oh fuck, you're like, you're kind of banged up, and he was like, jumps up and does like a one-footed hop pass to get the touchdown, and then, like, hobbles off like onto the side. It was ridiculous.
The Jags, watching that game, thinking about it, the Jags needed to make more, like, take more advantage in that second quarter when he was out of the game. Like, the comparison would be, when, like, KD goes off, or Giannis, or Luka, or Tatum, any of these star players that always have spells in a match where they go off. I feel like the Jags had to take advantage when Mahomes was out for however many drives. It might have just been the one. It was most of the second quarter, though. And in fact, they conceded a touchdown. And, like, when you go back to that, was probably where they had to really take the game by the scruff of the neck. And yeah, they didn't really do that.
Yeah. What about that Giants Eagles game? We watched that afterwards. Watched that at actually my house. And I thought it was just thoroughly underwhelming. Was kind of bored by the end of it because we knew it was happening. Eagles just, like, I did a radio hit this morning, sorry, this afternoon, and talked about this, and it's like the Eagles are up 28-0. The Giants are not really built to chase games. And so you kind of knew they just didn't really have it in them to turn that game around and pull off like a Jaguars like comeback, or even a comeback that, the likes of the Bengals or Bills or Chiefs could probably pull off potentially. And so it was pretty dull.
It was like, like, even as an Eagles fan, like, I'm watching it, and you want games to be competitive because then they're exciting. Like, maybe not like, 3 points kind of competitive, but I would have been happy with a 7 to 10 point thing to make it like look like they at least had a chance. But they just look outclassed from the outset. And the fact that Jalen Hurts only had to throw for 154 yards when, they're doing, over 250 yards rushing is insane. Like, the Giants defense, I really thought could kind of hold them down, but the Eagles just took advantage. They've got basically this four-headed dragon between Gainwell, Boston Scott, Miles Sanders, and then Jalen Hurts himself, who can all run it, and they took full advantage. So it was disappointing, I think. Like, just the Giants never looked like they were in it, either on offense or defense. Saquon Barkley obviously had like a super quiet game and wasn't really utilized apart from like a 39-yard rush at one point. And like, as we all kind of noted when we were watching the games, like, the Giants' star wide receiver was Richie James. Like, there were guys playing on the Giants and wide receivers that I never could have told you who they were. So that definitely, played into it quite a lot.
I think they, like, for Hurts in particular, the Eagles did really well to kind of, and Hurts himself to protect himself. You could tell he didn't look like he was quite 100 yet, but he was smart. He might have slid earlier than he would otherwise. Just the whole game was kind of a little bit of preservation, but knowing that there's bigger things to come. I'm sure the 49ers will try and target that. But that, really, he's probably not done any damage to what his injury was. So he's probably got another week now to try and keep getting better. So I think that was really well managed from himself and the Eagles all game. It does help when you kind of go out to such a sort of large lead early, I guess, rather than it being that close. But it sort of matched a lot of the games where I kind of think it was pretty underwhelming in terms of the competitiveness of all of the games, really. Don't you think? Like, I remember last year, every single divisional game just being like unbelievable. And this
Well,
year,
I think the fact that, like, we've sat there and we've I think we've got one prediction wrong, which was the, well, at least for me, guessing the Bills would beat the Bengals. Like, I think it probably shows it. Like, some of the point starts and the point differentials in these teams were like horrific. Obviously, the Chiefs didn't blow out the Jags by 10, but you know, the rest of them.
But they're always in control, really. They've that you know, Jags had to score very late to even and to do an onside kick, so that game was pretty much over. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the Bills Bengals was. I don't think anyone expected that to go as it did.
Some of us were pretty concerned by the Bills going into the game, but
but not that concerned.
Hang on, mate. Like, what? This is a we've talked a lot about this. We've got to give the people some context. So I like referenced that the warning signs were on the Bills from the Dolphins, maybe to a certain extent. But you know, obviously there were lots of Bills turnovers that game, which led to the Dolphins in the scoring position. This game, like over the weekend between the Bills and Bengals, I've never seen a team outclassed that badly. Considering their regular season, they just looked awful on all sides of the ball, and the Bengals looked absolutely unstoppable, which is ridiculous considering that the Bills have a pretty good defense and the Bengals had a really, really banged up O-line. So that was super surprising. Like even Diggs after the game, like obviously Buffalo's star wide receiver, he stormed out of the locker room. He tried leaving, and one of the players had to bring him back in the locker room. And then he's just later. Shocked. Yeah, and he's just shocked. Like, even his quotes today, like, he basically, it's like, I can't believe this is happening again. And after we saw, like, the exit for the Bills last year, the question was, look, you got to build up around your defense to stop that happening again. They got Von Miller. Obviously, Von Miller got injured. But they pulled in some other defensive guys. But now this year, their offense looks shit. Their defense looks shit. And it's kind of like, where to from here? And I know we'll cover that in a bit, but holy shit, Joe Burrow and that team, just excellent. Going into a hostile Buffalo environment where it's snowing, to do what they did and make the Bills look that bad, that's impressive as hell.
It was a game where only one team looked like they were playing in the snow. Like, it looked like the Bengals were playing on a, you know, nice, balmy September afternoon. Like, they were so methodical, so precise and efficient the whole game. And, you know, when you think about that Jamar Chase questionable, that you know, the touchdown that was ruled an incompletion, which probably could have gone either way, like it could have been a bigger hiding.
Well, yeah, they were almost at 300. I think the Bengals were almost at 300 offensive yards just before halftime. So just, it's so bad.
It looked easy for them. It just looked easy, really, which was really concerning for the Bill. From a Bill. And I know, like, Von Miller's injured, but it's like you can't be, like, one player. A team built for a Super Bowl cannot, as good as Von Miller is, cannot be, you know, have their defense be that poor based on one player being out. So
it almost felt like that whole trick for the Bills, which had worked so well this year, which is we don't really need a whole bunch of committed running backs. We can just rely on some casual running backs being in there with Singletary and James Cook, and then just rely on Josh Allen to, like, pick it up and have these monsters run each game. Like, Bengals just took that out of the equation, and it looked awful.
Yeah. Obviously the Cowboys are out now, going out to the 49ers, 19-12. Funny moment in that game. Obviously, Brett Mayer's... What's his name again? Mayer. Four missed kicks last week. First kick of the game. Charged down by the 49ers. He's probably not going to be on... It was going well.
It was missing.
He's probably not going to be on the team next year. But, you know, that obviously the kicks didn't even end up mattering, Dave. But, you know, what did you think was the turning point or like where did the Cowboys lose that game?
Well, I think it was a game where two of the best defenses in the league absolutely stood up. Like, it was kind of when you sort of look back at what you expected from this game, those defenses are possibly number one and two in the league. DVOA. So I would look it up. DVOA, I'm pretty sure they're the top two defenses. And anyway, either way, they're top elite and very much turned up. Now, I think the turning point for me was the interception just before halftime, a really bad throw from Dak. I think it was second and two in the red zone. And I don't know, he obviously just didn't see the guy, but it was, awful throw. You know, the Cowboys, that became it. And then that's when 49ers did a big drive and got a 3-pointer right on the half with 1 second to go. Now, that's kind of at least a six, arguably a 10-point swing with how that drive was going. You know, if the Cowboys are going to the half 13-6 with a, you know, the rookie quarterback and Brock Purdy having to chase the game a little bit with how good the defenses were all game, it's a completely different game that second half. 49ers still might have come out on top, but it just would have been interesting. And so for me, that's definitely the turning point. Was some pretty bad play calling and final few drives from the Cowboys in that fourth quarter. Some pretty head scratching decisions there. And but again, that was kind of towards the end and you're chasing the game a bit.
Honestly, like I look at
and, this, and the Pollard injury as well was a big thing.
Pollard injury to a certain extent. Like I think like it's not going to be any surprise to any of us that I think like you look at those offensive, you know, San Francisco versus Cowboys offense, and you would pick and say San Francisco has the way better offense, has more weapons to utilize and things like that. To me, honestly, what this came down to was Dak. Kirk Cousins 2.0. Those two turnovers were absolute killers for there. They overall had like very similar yardage for their offenses. I think Cowboys had 282 total yards. San Francisco had 312. So that's what it came down to. And Jerry Jones was interviewed after the game and basically threw Dak under the bus a little bit. So I think next year we're not going to see Zeke on that team, and we're going to see like the Cowboys slowly starting to think about life after Dak.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I think on the whole, well, I guess the Bengals-Bills game was the possible exception. But pretty much all the teams we expected to win won. So looking forward to the games ahead. What are we talking about next again? We're on
where's
to
next.
Where to next? My WhatsApp is not loading. I can't see the topic. Oh, no.
Absolute meltdown.
I'm having a meltdown. So, one of you guys tell me where we're going next.
Yeah, I mean, let's go like dive in first. We were just talking about the Cowboys and kind of, you know, where to next to the Cowboys. It feels like their defense is heading in the right direction. Yeah. Most likely they're probably going to lose their defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, in the offseason, who will probably pick up a head coaching job somewhere. So that is a massive loss. They've got a
but
great
McCarthy's
defense.
Staying?
I would want to get rid of him, but I think McCarthy is staying. I think the other thing is that they've got a good young defense that they're going to build around. So that's going to be a highlight for them. I think they're massive concerns if you're a Cowboys fan, and it would be interesting to hear what you think, Dave. But for me, just looking at it from an outsider's point of view, Zeke's got to go. Pollard, you probably want to like lock up for a few years. And you want to start looking at quarterbacks late in the draft, you know, in the next draft, because Dak, this is the second time, I know play calling's played into it a bit, but he's just Kirk Cousins, and you can definitely build a team around a Kirk Cousins type. We've, you know, seen teams like San Francisco do it without these elite, quarterbacks, but it just seems like Dak's, unfortunately, time is at Dallas is slowly going out the window. They can't get rid of him in the next 2 years just because the massive amount of cap hit that it would take. But I think they start planning for a future without him.
Yeah, I think 12-win regular season playoff, away playoff win, I think it is enough to keep McCarthy and Dak going forward. And I mean, the fact that Dak's a little bit more complex than just saying we want to move on from him. But yeah, and that is kind of a shame. Certainly the McCarthy thing. And I completely agree. Dak's kind of, he's a good quarterback. But, you know, I just, as a Cowboy fan, don't feel like they're going to win a Super Bowl with him at the helm. They may, if they can continue to build their defense, and maybe if he's sort of, but there's just too many mistakes at critical times. But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you said. I think Zeke's probably moving on. You know, they've got some good offensive players. Clearly, CeeDee Lamb's taken the good step to be the, you know, be a wide receiver one, and he's, you know, he was given the sort of keys to be wide receiver one, and he's taken that. So I think maybe they'll look to shore up behind him, have some other weapons. I don't know if the guys they were using this year, like Gallup, to me, he was pretty disappointing and underwhelming all season. I know he had injuries as well. The one sort of curveball for me here is thinking about Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry Jones will want nothing more in this world than winning another Super Bowl. He is 80 years old. It's pretty old. So is he going to try and – he's the sort of guy, and I know there's been talks about Sean Payton getting wanting to get paid 20
– Dave, he may be 80 years old, but he's basically like Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's found that like secret to longevity, and he sacrificed the souls of many victims. He's living till at least 400, unfortunately.
Yeah, but end of the day, like Sean Payton talks that he wants to get something north of 20, 25 million. Now that's crazy money for a coach. There is very few teams I think that would, or owners that would do that. Jerry Jones is the sort of guy I think that would. If he thinks it's the right play. So that could be something that, you know, to watch. I mean, we've spoken about Payton a lot, but yeah, that would be a surprise. I think people were expecting McCarthy to be back, but that's something, I guess, to watch unfold.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are shaping up too bad. The question for the Giants, not the Giants, the Cowboys, is how do they take the next step? Like, I think they're still in a position where they can have it the same season as they've just had next year. I think that won't take too much, but it's whether how do they get to the next level, which will be interesting to follow. What about the Giants? And what's the other team that just got knocked out? Big call coming up with Daniel Jones' future.
Yeah, also big call coming out with Saquon Barkley, a couple of their wide receivers, a couple of the defensive guys. They're one of the teams that I think only did two moves before the beginning of last season to bring in free agents. Maybe slightly wrong on that, but it was very low number. I mean, for them, build around your defense. Thibodeau's exceptional, great young guy. Offense, I mean, you could make it work with Daniel Jones. He's not an elite quarterback, but, you know, if you can get him on a fairly reasonable contract and lock up some of these other guys, like, you know, Barkley said he wants to continue to be a Giant. I feel like they've got something good going there with a head coach, and I think that's a head coach that's going to start to attract players. I just think the NFC is kind of where you want to be moving forward. I know we talked about this a little bit with just how young some of the quarterbacks are in the AFC. So I think they try lock these guys up without breaking the bank.
Yeah, the new – so I was just reading, the new GM, I think his name's Joe Schoen, he came in last year. He's had a bit of a golden touch, really. His first thing was to hire Dable. Look how successful that was. He did a really good draft. The Thibodeau was the first pick, but even just some of the other players in the early draft did really well or have been effective right away. He picked up Hodgins, the wide receiver from the waivers, who was a pretty good late season contributor. So like, there's been a lot of good things that he's done as GM. And I think you've already mentioned it, Danny Dimes, Barkley, what happens here in the offseason is going to be, you know, huge. That's going to be the focal point.
Yeah, like, because, I mean, at the end of the day, what changed in the two seasons? If they just added two more players and this season had even more of a banged-up wide receiving core, it's that. You know, they drafted well, and they also had that head coaching in place. So, and they became a playoff team when last year it was four wins.
The biggest problem for them is they're in the NFC East. And, you know, Philly should have a lot of the same squad. And obviously the Cowboys we just spoke about. So that's a brutal division to sort of have to navigate through next season.
The Giants are a funny one because I could actually see them sort of receding a lot and potentially having a terrible season and winning five or six games next year as well. A lot of things went right, but they were good, but a lot of things went right for them as well this season. So, hopefully not, though. But what about the Bills?
God, I just don't know where to from here. I kind of like almost feel like Stephon Diggs. It's happened again. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Like,
it's a curse. Further away it's a curse. From the Super Bowl than they did a year ago.
Correct. And it's so weird. Dave, yeah, it feels like a curse for Buffalo. Like, just when you think everything's right, like, Josh Allen has a huge year and, you know, like Stephon Diggs is being a monster and your defense is finally clicking. Like, again, you're just exiting the playoffs in a fairly similar way. You're just getting shown up. Like, and, you know, they were home games as well for the Bills. So, like, I just don't know. Like, I don't know what you do. Like, I mean, looking at this team, the easy option is to say, bring in some more wide receivers to help support Stephon Diggs. And then obviously, you like build around your young running back, James Cook. And then pull in some other defensive guys. But holy shit, it's going to be a very interesting offseason for them because it feels like morale is just crippled there at the moment.
Can we agree that regardless of who they recruit and what they do in the offseason, they should not be the preseason favorite for the Super Bowl? Purely because of the Buffalo factor, the curse. You know, they were the favorites, everyone's favorite for the before the season started, the bookie's favorite. And it's like, well, I've just proven time and again you kind of feel a little bit, and maybe this is blowing it out too much, but is their window of opportunity slowly going past? Like, you kind of feel like they do need to make it happen sooner rather than later.
I
I
don't
mean,
think
Josh
so.
Allen's still quite
Like,
young. They're still quite young,
yeah,
but
that's the thing. When you've got young quarterbacks and that's who you've secured up, I think your window stays open for a while.
how long has Diggs got left?
That'll be the interesting thing. I think, like, yeah, Diggs has probably got a year or two left, I think, on his contract. They'll secure him up and lock him up, and that's fine. But it's, like we kind of talked about at the very beginning of this, like the season. That Christian Kirk contract, how we thought it was so fucking stupid and so overinflated. But this coming season, there aren't a whole bunch of free agent wide receivers. So you're either going to have to trade or draft. So it's going to make things pretty interesting, I think, especially when you look at these teams that are trying to collect or build up their offense.
Yeah, as a team, I would focus on the draft day. I think in the last few years, you've seen a lot of young wide receivers come in and really make an impact. And if you think about all the guys that are, yeah, elite, most of them are, you know, first, second, third year guys.
The Bills don't have a ton of cap space, though, do they? With
I honestly
all
don't
the,
think so. I think
oh,
that Von
they've made
Miller
some big
contract is
signings, haven't
pretty
they?
fucking insane, like
Yeah,
considering
the
how
Von
old
Miller
Von Miller
contract.
is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So.
It'll be
I don't
interesting.
know. I think the draft might be their avenue where it's a bit cheaper. All right, final team, the Jags.
What more can we say? More of the same. Great
Not more,
coaching,
not yeah.
the
I think
building a
I
good
think
young core.
the window of contention is only just beginning for the Jags. I think it's a very promising season for them. Calvin Ridley's coming in. Hopefully he's, you know, up to speed off his suspension, and they'll add a few more bits and pieces through the draft, and probably also attract some free agents now that Lawrence has shown he can be the guy, and I think they'll be in a good spot next year.
And Lawrence is really looking like a leader as well. They obviously lost the game, but there's that footage of him, waiting in the tunnel, talking to every team member that's coming off. So, I'm sure the Jags are going to be easy favorites to win the AFC South next year.
The Jags
It's
aren't going to know
also
what
a
to do
shit
on.
division as well.
They're not going to know what to do on draft day. The last two drafts, they were the number one overall pick, and they're going to be way down the order this year. So, uncharted territory.
Yeah, they'll breeze through that division, the Texans, Titans, and Colts. Okay. Well, this weekend's games. That's what we're looking at now. Two games this weekend. First of all, both
Hopefully
on Sunday.
two.
What's that?
Hopefully two games.
I hope. So what's the afternoon? NFC, is it?
Yeah, 49ers Eagles 3 p.m. Sunday, so 9 a.m. New Zealand time Monday, and then Bengals Chiefs 6:30 p.m. Sunday. Two great games. 49ers Eagles. Let's start there. Dwight, so how are you feeling about the Eagles against the San Francisco?
I mean, I could definitely lie to you guys and say I was feeling very comfortable and confident. I'm glad we've got home field advantage is all I can say with that one. I think honestly, it feels like a coin flip game. It really, really does. Like, they looked great running the ball last week, but Hurts didn't have to pass that much. But the 49ers defense is a different beast altogether. Fred Warner and team just are just absolute monsters on that side of the ball. So I'm not confident, but I'm hoping the Eagles can get it done. And really what it's going to come down to, I think, is the Eagles defense shutting down Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, and forcing Brock Purdy to throw in really uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, you need you think that I feel like the Cowboys were pretty successful in keeping Debo McCaffrey in check, other than the maybe one or two drives, but was it one drive in particular that they just didn't stop him at all. But and I feel like the Eagles have a defense that can do that themselves as well.
Well, the benefit
But
I think, like off that, is the Eagles have so much film to go off with that 49ers game now, and the Cowboys game. You're right, Dave. Like they worked out a way to stop a whole bunch of them, where the Eagles didn't have to show their cards much because they were up so much early on.
yeah, it's true.
The one thing for the Eagles, like, you know, I've been betting against them all through the playoffs. Well, I mean, that was the first game, but I had a look. They haven't actually, you know, they've had obviously had a fairly favorable draw, and other than the Cowboys, because I looked at the top ranking defenses, and the Eagles haven't actually played any of the top five other than the Cowboys. And in both of those games, it was, you know, both either team wasn't full strength, so you didn't quite get the matchup that you want. So that would be the only reservation as well, where it's, you know, they haven't had to play any team remotely as good on defense as the 49ers. It is quite a, from a neutral point of view, quite an exciting, you know, the Eagles are the best offensive team, you know, what have been through the season against such an elite defense. And so that to me is also going to be a fascinating duel, if you like, within a duel or within the match.
Yeah, that Lane Johnson injury as well. Like he started off the game. We obviously all watched it together, and one of you guys pointed out they were like, "Oh, Lane Johnson already looks not right." And it was like the first or second play of the game, and he was basically like limping up to the line.
Wait, so here you're going to go to the game.
Trying to looking at it. Tickets are on sale in 10 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, here in the US. So going to look at getting the train down. Apparently NFC
Day
and
trip.
AFC championship games. Yeah, just down there and back. Apparently NFC and AFC championship games are the way to go because they've got a lot more fanfare, I guess, than the Super Bowl because it's always at one team's stadium rather than neutral site. But we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and it's a dream situation that they made at the 3:30 because it's an easy day trip. Like, obviously, if it was a 6:30 kickoff, you'd still be able to do it, but you wouldn't be getting back into New York till well after midnight.
How much are you expecting tickets to be?
Last week, for yesterday's Saturday's game, they're around the 350, 400 mark. I reckon they're probably going to be around the 1K. We'll
Yeah,
see.
I wouldn't. It might help not having New York in it though, as well.
It'll help not having the
Not having
Cowboys, that's for
Cowboys,
sure.
Cowboys, and certainly not the cow. It's certainly the Cowboys as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because like Philly always get behind their
But what I
teams,
mean is
but
that, you know, the game on Saturday would have, you know, a lot of New Yorkers coming down as well for that particular
Yeah.
day. They haven't been getting that far very lately. Bengals Chiefs, the night game. So, I mean, the Bengals obviously coming in very, very hot after that win over the Bills. I mean, to me, it's just like it's Mahomes' ankle here. That's what
Yeah.
we're looking at. If he's
Also,
out, this
Mahomes.
Bengals team is winning.
Yeah, I think there's a few things like coming into play. Mahomes' ankle is number one for sure. Everyone's going to talk about it all week. It's a high ankle sprain. It's not a great injury to have if you're a quarterback and you're trying to be mobile on your feet. So that's absolutely going to be number one. I think number two for me is just kind of, again, the culture and feeling around this Bengals team. Like they were taking the piss after they obviously won, being like, oh, anyone that was, got tickets to the neutral site, game in Atlanta that was supposed to be the Bills and the Chiefs, you guys better get your refunds in now. So I think there's a bit of like a they like playing as the underdog or being written off. Realistically, they're not an underdog. I saw a stat earlier today. Joe Burrow has now had five playoff wins. The Bengals before Joe Burrow got there had five playoff wins total. Also looking at the four teams that are in the NFC and AFC championships, three out of four are back in again. So San Francisco's back, the Bengals are back, the Chiefs are back, the Eagles replaced obviously the Rams. So it's going to be very interesting. They feel like they're building good stuff. I can't not say the Bengals now. They absolutely made the Bills look super pedestrian or absolutely awful on both sides of the ball. So I think they're going straight to the Super Bowl.
The Bengals played the Chiefs 3 times in 2022 and won every single one by 3 points every single time. So they were always very epic close battles. One actually went into overtime and then the Bengals won by 3.
So one is obviously the AFC Championship game at the end of last season. Yeah.
Yeah, so one was like week 17 in early January. That was actually the same day that we were watching it. Remember after we got watched the Jets Bucks and we were going to the train and they had it on the big screen. So that was one, and then two, 3 weeks later at the AFC Championship or whatever, and then obviously played again in the regular season just gone. So the Bengals definitely have the wood on them. Joe Burrow has actually never lost to Tom Brady, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes. So it's not that you play each other necessarily, but yeah. So I think the smart money is definitely on the Bengals, even if they can downplay it, and we think Mahomes is close to 100. We in reality we know he probably isn't, and that so that definitely tips it to the Bengals. And they just have that swagger that I don't think they worry about going to Arrowhead. But on the same token, if it sort of starts to think everyone's getting behind the Bengals and they're not the underdog, and we're all expecting it, this is the NFL, this is where, and this is at the stage where sort of anything can happen. And I think we should definitely not write off the Chiefs by any means.
I don't think you can ever write off Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid Chiefs ever. Like, you're definitely right on that. But yeah, at the moment, like, the Bengals are 1 point favorites. So Vegas still has, them pretty close. And then on the other side of the ball, the Eagles are 2.5 point favorites over the 49ers. But just that Bengals team, like, it just feels like there's something special brewing there. So I don't know. I think they're
What
just going to
I'm
carry that momentum.
I do think the four best teams in the NFL are playing this weekend. And that's not always the
I
case
agree.
with it being AFC,
Yep,
NFC.
totally. Yep.
And if going to the season, you might have actually thought Bengals, Bills, Chiefs are three of the best four teams, whatever. But I do feel like we've got the best four teams, and that's great. And the fact that, it is hard to pick the winners in both, because looking at the lines already, like under three in both or under two in both. And so, that's ideal, especially after I mentioned slightly underwhelming from a competitive point of view. Slate of games for the divisional round.
Yep, I would agree. Very
So,
much
who are you
looking
all
forward to both
picking?
of them.
Because I'm going to go Eagles Bengals, but like, what do you think of sign, Dave? Like, are you both thinking differently than I am, or
49ers Bengals.
I'm going 49ers Bengals. I was going to go 49ers Chiefs, and probably would still if even had the Bengals played that well if Mahomes was fully fit. But I think I think. Obviously, if he doesn't play, it's definitely Bengals. And if he plays, I still think with the injury concern, I'm still leaning Bengals now. So Bengals 49ers for me.
Bengals is the only team out of the three, out of the four, that has a fully fit first string quarterback.
Yeah, good point.
True.
Well, Brock Purdy's all good. Oh, he's not first string. Good point. Sorry.
True. Speaking of quarterbacks, moving on to topic four. Before, this could be quite a good quarterback market this summer. We've got, obviously the big talking point at the moment is Tom Brady and where he winds up going. He, sounds like he will leave the Bucks, but it sounds like he'll keep playing. We've got, there's other guys to talk about. We've got Lamar Jackson's future is obviously very uncertain at the Ravens. Derek Carr sounds like he's on the block or getting released from the Raiders, so he's going to be available. Aaron Rodgers, we don't know what's happening there. Jimmy Garoppolo as well, could well be available, or probably will be available, given it'll either be Trey Lance or Brock Purdy, I would have thought, in San Francisco moving forward. So,
Even to a lesser extent, you've got like variables like Trey Lance. Given the success of Brock Purdy, like, does that mean that they look to trade Trey Lance, who's a third overall pick quarterback that could become available? Yes, he hasn't really proven himself at NFL level yet, but he's obviously got enough that teams are that interested. So, it's not just the proven guys. There are a few more around there as well.
Yeah, I think with Lance, like if they decide that Purdy's their guy, they should trade Lance immediately. Because if Lance spends a season on the bench behind Purdy, then his trade value is just going to get tanked by that. And so I think
Normally,
that would
I
be.
disagree with you on that at 100%, because the reason why I'd be like, you got two rookie quarterbacks, let them compete against each other. The curveball, and why I think you're right on this, is they gave out three fucking first round picks to trade up to get Trey Lance. which makes things a bit difficult. Like, how long do you exactly like you said, how long do you take on, hang on to him, knowing that you spent that much collateral to try get him, to get him, to potentially walk away with nothing?
And the other thing with this QB market that's is like the domino effect is you've got all these negotiations and discussions probably happening, but it's like who makes the first move and just the knock-on effect of all of that. Because obviously if someone goes and signs somewhere, then that might start changing everyone else's urgency. Or I think it's fascinating to have that many high profile free agents in the quarterback position in the one season.
Well, you'd
I
like
mean,
to
from
think the
San
draft,
draft
Francisco's
is like,
point of
yeah,
view,
go on.
San Francisco's point of view, it's a great problem to have. Like, it's not often you draft someone so late in the market that actually turns out to be, like incredible like that. But sorry, you were saying?
Well, I just think the draft could be a good sort of trigger point really for all of this. But we've talked about teams wanting to trade up to get a top spot in the draft, but a lot of these teams that are in negotiations with a team like the Bears will love the fact that there's all these quarterbacks available, because then they can go to the Bears. Well, we don't need to trade up because we could just go and get Derek Carr. We could just go and get, Brady, whoever you're in the market for, whoever you like. And so it sort of strengthens their position. So it's very much a buyer's market for quarterbacks this summer, which is going to be interesting.
It
Just
is, and like the kind of like the other thing is like we've been talking about San Francisco, but there's like two past Super Bowl winners, MVPs that are sitting out there with big question marks, which is obviously Rodgers and Brady. Brady, there was rumors going out over the weekend that he's told his teammates that he won't be back in Tampa, which I don't think is a big surprise to anyone. So it's obviously he plays for a team that's in a place to compete for a championship, or he retires. And then Aaron Rodgers, which, originally I was like, there's no way he turns down $60 million. And I just didn't see the Packers trading him. But now there's rumors going around that the Packers would very much trade Aaron Rodgers, and they don't see him as being an absolute lock the next year.
That's fascinating, eh? 'Cause, I mean, if, like you are, then the interesting thing for me is there's tons of quarterbacks available that all kind of fit different teams as well. Like, if you've got a roster that's ready to go, like the Jets, guy like Brady, perfect. If you want to like build, a longer term team, you want to try and go into the draft to try and get one of these young guys, or you want, a middle of the road option, you can get Derek Carr or someone like that. So a lot of options out there. I think the team to watch is going to be the Jets for sure, because they're a super attractive side for a lot of quarterbacks. I fascinating if Brady was willing to go to the Jets, but I do think they could look at Aaron Rodgers potentially and try and make a play there.
I mean, they could potentially look at anyone. It's I think like the like you said, Si, and you've touched on multiple times already, it's a buyer's market. Like there are a couple of teams here that don't have to trade for quarterbacks. They can pick up a freebie, which is a huge thing. Like if nobody trades for Derek Carr prior to February 15th, they've got to cut him. Tom Brady is obviously a free agent. Aaron Rodgers is obviously the one that like, has to be traded. As a Jets team, it'd be interesting to sit there and just be like, do we want to give up like collateral to get one of these guys, or do we want to try get them in for free?
Yeah, but the good thing, I mean, the thing is though that by having free agent alternatives, you can, the Packers' negotiating position is weakened, because the Jets can just go and be like, well, we're not going to give up a first rounder because, we'll just get Brady. And so they give up a second rounder. Using
the Packers, like if they do part ways with Rodgers, is I don't know if they've seen enough or liked enough from Jordan Love, who was a first round pick. So like they would probably be trying to replace him with someone, one of these guys we've just been talking about. So that's also quite interesting.
I think the cap hit as well, like for the Packers, is pretty substantial. So I think if they do move on from Aaron
It
Rodgers, they
has to
go
be
into
Love.
rebuild mode. Well, yeah, they just don't have a lot of cap space, and they've got a whole bunch of young guys, so it doesn't kind of make sense to start like immediately like pulling in experienced elite veterans. But we'll see what happens. I mean, like the other kind of weird ones out there, we've got Lamar Jackson, still not under contract. He's basically like wanting more guaranteed money, which I totally get. But again, it'll be interesting to see how this quarterback market affects it, because the Ravens can very much go out there and just franchise tag him, as we were talking about last week. he definitely won't play under a franchise tag. But I like I don't see there's a scenario where the Ravens trade him. I think that's completely gone. He either gets franchise tagged, doesn't play, or signs an extension.
But yeah, I mean,
That's tough.
you got Daniel Jones. Obviously, we touched on his future as well. Even like Geno Smith, I mean, imagine if the Seahawks, they can't agree to a new deal, and then Geno Smith's on the market, and he's suddenly more attractive, and the Seahawks are looking for a new quarterback. So there's a few other guys as well that could be pretty active. Could be a pretty active quarterback market.
I think a lot of the teams are going to be looking at that seventh round and going, all right, where's our starting quarterback coming out of here? There's probably a sliding doors moment for Brock Purdy where he may have not started an NFL game for like 5 years, being a third stringer. Like, it is just a ridiculous sort of story. But, and he could have easily been not the guy they picked. There's probably a few quarterbacks on the market, that they could have gone with. They chose him.
Also, kind of funny as well. Like, fun fact, Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts played each other in college, I think, in 2019.
I looked at that. Yeah, I saw the thing. 42-41.
Wow.
Oklahoma beat Iowa. Six total
Who was
touchdowns
the
for
winner?
Purdy. Hurts. Actually, so what happened is three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to bring it back from Iowa, from Purdy, and they went for two in the last play of the game to win it. Didn't want to go to overtime, and they missed it. CeeDee Lamb, 167 yards, two touchdowns for Oklahoma. And Breece Hall carved up for Iowa. Some good names there.
But like I guess going back to quarterbacks for a second, there is going to be this weird kind of like exodus of really shit quarterbacks from the league. Your Baker Mayfields, your Sam Darnolds, your Carson
You don't
Wentzes.
reckon Marcus Mariota is getting another contract?
Marcus Mariota, yeah, exactly. Like who are just going to go back to being second string quarterbacks? Like there is no starting job for them, regardless of what they think. Or if a team is willing to start them, they're very content with just fucking coming last. It's definitely one of those periods over the last few years where we've seen these old guys retire. Matt Ryan, like obviously tried at the Colts, had a very shit year. So yeah, lots of changing in the guard happening in the moment.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of these guys that are available are guys that were starters this year. So they it
Oh
will
yeah.
be more of a merry-go-round versus like a clearing out of a bunch of guys. So yeah. I mean, it's gonna be fascinating. Something's gonna be very good. Hopefully we get an NFL offseason as good as last offseason, because that was a lot of fun. But less so on the quarterback front.
Hot.
Okay. Yeah.
Quick hot take before we move on. Where does Brady go? Does he retire or what team is he going to?
The
My
Raiders.
pick, Raiders.
Yeah.
Dave, you got any?
I don't think the Raiders. Raiders is the one that gets talked about the most, eh? Could he go Jets? I don't know if it's a
I don't think
sexy
he'd
enough team
do it,
for
eh?
him. I don't know if it's a sexy enough team. I do like the storyline of him going to the Jets and being in the AFC East with against Belichick twice a year.
Here's my hot take. He still goes to San Francisco. They trade Trey Lance. They put Purdy behind him for a year, and they just go 1 year.
He just does a 1 year, one and done. I do
Yeah.
like the idea of it being a 1 year thing. Does that, and it does suit a team like the 49ers, who are just like ready to go at it again. Maybe not so much the Raiders. My thing with the Raiders has always been, can he somehow get into ownership, with the basketball franchise, with his $300 million contract for Fox? And I reckon he'd love to be involved somewhere. So if playing for the Raiders helps that, I could see that being a contributor.
True, true. It'll be interesting. All right, on to the NBA to wrap things up. Well, we're sort of approaching midway through the season. Talking the MVP race today, thrice Nikola Jokic. Do you think he's running away with it?
I do. It's kind of like a. It was a very interesting thing, like because obviously we all made our picks earlier in the season. I did not pick Jokic. I picked our good
Doncic.
friend Luka Doncic.
None of us picked Jokic.
No.
Well, good,
But
interesting.
we all kind of talked about him and just thought voter fatigue. We assumed he'd have another good year. Yeah, so I think it was kind of, we just thought it'd be hard to win three in a row.
Yeah, and that's what it's shaping up to be. Like, I feel like as we're looking at the stats right now, to me, there is no way Nikola Jokic is not the MVP. At the moment, he's basically averaging a 25-point triple-double on 70% shooting, which is just absolutely insane. His passing skills are exceptional for a guy that's 7 foot and almost 300 pounds. He's just looking absolutely incredible. And there has been no three-peat of MVP ever, like back to back to back. Obviously, Steve Nash went
Did
back to
Larry Bird
back.
do it? Did Larry Bird not do it? You're
I
probably
don't
right.
know.
I just thought in the 80s he may have. But that is incredible. Even if someone had done it, like it's that's so hard to do.
Yeah, and like I think like the only thing that comes into it is just kind of Sai, what you touched on is kind of that voter fatigue, which is, you know, like I feel like that's the only time that, you know, Jokic won't get it is because people are sick of voting for him. And that's
So,
kind of when it
yeah.
opens the door slightly.
But the difference I think this year, though, is that this is the best year the Nuggets are having out of all these 3 seasons. They are running away with the Western Conference. Grizzlies are the only team close. Sacramento and third are 6 games back, which is already quite a lead. The Nuggets have typically been around that 4 to 6 seed in the Western Conference. This year they're actually winning, and so I think you know when there's a When the team's actually winning as well and is dominating the league, that helps the case for the MVP as well. And so I think in some cases voter fatigue might come into it, but I think the fact that the Nuggets are having the best season they've had with Jokic there will help his cause a lot. And I think should solidify him as the favorite for MVP.
So, quick fact check, Dave, you're definitely right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has gone done the.
No,
No,
Bill
he
Russell.
hasn't. It's only Bill Russell. Bill
Bill
Russell
Russell,
and
Wilt
the.
Chamberlain, and Larry Bird. I'm looking at the list here.
There's only three players that have done three bids.
LeBron did 4 and 5 years in peak LeBron era when he was
He
Cavs
did.
and Heat.
So I think the other thing is the MVP award's kind of weird, right? Because it does take into account a little bit of like how is the team overall doing and stuff like that. And again, like I'm an absolute Homer fan for saying this, but like KD being seventh in the overall voting at the moment makes no sense when you see how important he is to that Nets team.
It's the
But
games he's missed,
obviously,
though.
yeah, it is the games he's missed. But you know exactly what you said when you're looking at the Nuggets and the team that they've got and built around and the impact that Jokic has on the court. It would be absolute daylight robbery if he does not get a third MVP this year,
But do you know that?
barring injury.
Do you know what though? Part of why he's won it the last few years and is favored now is his durability. Like I know Embiid's had in the last few seasons, who's been the runner up, I think in both years, he misses stretches of games like KD. And so that always is going to hurt you. But Jokic hardly misses, many games to injury. So he's just so durable, able to get out there. It is a season, as we've seen and talked about, that we are seeing a lot of like records shattered and, incredible performances. I think it's just Jokic's consistency is just a little bit above. Because we are seeing stretches from a lot of the other stars, whether it's a Tatum, Morant, KD, Giannis. They've all had stretches, 2, 3, 4 weeks where they've been arguably the MVP of that month or that period. But it's Jokic is just always there and thereabouts, and that's probably the key.
So his average line is 25 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds,
Which
triple
is
double.
ridiculous.
9.9 assists, sorry, but I rounded up.
He's just going out and just, you know, making it look easy. And like, again, like just for a guy that's 7 foot and built that big, like it's incredible to watch.
No, he's a phenomenal player. But there is a lot of the season to go and plenty of time for someone to push their way back in or Jokic to drop out. So maybe KD when he gets fit. I mean, he was, to be fair, like he was top three, top four conversation until he got injured. So the missed games never helps, but it should be good. Right, gents, good episode. Conference championships this weekend should be a lot of fun. Look forward to talking next week when we have our Super Bowl teams, and then we can get excited for the Pro Bowl. Great stuff.
Let's go, Birds.
Yeah. All right. See you later.